You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It is a fact that what makes Aotearoa New Zealand an amazing place to live is nature. Our export industries are built off the idea of a clean, green New Zealand attracting tourists and food exports. Greenpeace's executive director, Russell Norman, claims that Luxon's relentless war on nature burns the natural capital of Aotearoa for short-term GDP growth. He has called it a war on nature and says that the cleanup costs of a coal mine are greater than a full year of royalties that coal companies pay to the government. I spoke in depth about Christopher Luxon's continued war on nature with Russell, further speaking on international implications. To begin with, how would you summarise the war on nature you describe in the context of Luxon's policies?
Look, this government over the last 12 months or so has launched a wide range of policies that are very anti-environment, whether it's trying to restart oil and gas exploration, which obviously is terrible for the climate but also raises the risk of oil spills, or whether it's new fast-track coal mines, whether it's trying to do infill housing on floodplains, you name it, they're trying to do it. So one policy after another has really been very much aimed at nature destruction in order to get short-term profits.
And what specific policies do you see as the most destructive?
Well, if you look at their fast-track legislation, basically what they're doing is circumventing all environmental protections in order to get through particular projects. So, like, they want to do seabed mining in the South Taranaki Bight. That project has been rejected by every court in the country, including the Supreme Court, because of its environmental impact. And so they're basically stepping around that Supreme Court decision and all other environmental laws in order to force through that project to the benefit of an Australian mining company. That's a classic example of a terribly destructive project that the government's trying to force through. Likewise, various coal mines that they're trying to push through around the country. You know, it's not only an attack on biodiversity, it's also an attack on climate change pretty much everywhere. When you look at the freshwater regulations, New Zealand has terribly polluted freshwater already because of agriculture, and they're weakening the current protections in order to result, well, there'll be more and more water pollution than we've already got.
And you mentioned that Luxon's policies prioritise short-term GDP growth at the expense of natural capital. How would you quantify the long-term economic losses from these policies?
So, I mean, an example is, you know, we're having to remediate coal mines in various places around the country, in Stockton right now. And the cost of those remediations is more than what the government gathers in royalties from the entire coal industry in New Zealand in a year. So a single coal mine remediation will suck up all of the royalties the government gets from coal across the whole country for a year. So you end up in the situation where you get a short-term economic benefit by causing environmental destruction, but the long-term consequences are not only do you lose that piece of natural environment and the biodiversity that goes with it, but the taxpayer has to pay for the cleanup for decades to come. And this has reoccurred place after place. Tui was another mine site that had to be remediated, cost tens of millions of dollars to remediate that one. Because the miners go in and extract the natural capital, make short-term profits and leave us with the dirty great mess afterwards to clean up. And so that's a classic example where you destroy the natural capital in order to make short-term profits. But if you look at the New Zealand economy as a whole more broadly, I mean, the way that New Zealand makes its living in the world is we sell food to the world and we have tourism currently, right? They're our major two export industries. Both of those export industries rely on a perception of protecting the natural environment. And now the reality, of course, isn't as good as the perception, but the government wants to make the reality worse and worse, which will undermine our two biggest export sectors, which is food, which relies on clean, green and safe. That's the whole brand of the food export business. And tourism, which is our other great export industry. And tourists don't come here to see coal mines. They come here to see the natural environment that the Luxon government's doing everything it can to destroy. So even just the current structure of the New Zealand economy. And then if you look forward, you know, services is going to be a key part, services exports is going to be a key part of the New Zealand economy going forward. We need people to actually create those services exports in technology in particular. And the reason why people come to live in a place like New Zealand, which is otherwise pretty remote, is because of the quality of the natural environment. That is our attraction. We don't have super high wages. We're not close to the major urban centres in the world. What we bring, what we offer people with talent is it's a great place to live. And that's also what the Luxon government's trying to undermine. So I just think the strategy that they're pursuing of destroying the natural environment just for short-term gain will cause us long-term harm.
Why are international perceptions of New Zealand being clean and green tied to economic sectors like tourism and exports?
Well, if you look at how exports are sold to the world, it's based on clean, green and safe. So the food industry, the whole perception around New Zealand food exports is that it's safe and that it's clean and green, good for the environment. That's why that, you know, we have a market for those products. And likewise, tourism, which is the other great export industry currently, that also is entirely built on the natural environment. That's how it is marketed to the world. And so the further that the government attacks the natural environment, the more it undermines the two biggest export sectors in the New Zealand economy.
Can you elaborate on the potential risks to New Zealand's trade agreements with the EU and UK due to environmental policies?
Yeah, so the recently signed trade agreements between New Zealand and the EU and New Zealand and the UK, both of them have significant environment chapters in them. And so that's things like honouring commitments to the Paris Climate Agreement. There's rules about not rolling back environmental protection in order to get trade advantage. And what the Luxon government has overtly been doing is weakening environmental protection in New Zealand in order to get trade advantage in other countries. They want to reduce the cost to New Zealand agribusiness by allowing them to dump their pollution in rivers, for instance, in order that they can have lower cost exports into the EU and the UK. Now, that kind of policy is explicitly prohibited in the trade agreements. And so already questions have been raised in the UK Parliament, questions have been raised in the EU Parliament about the policies of the Luxon government undermining the free trade agreements because they're undermining environmental protections.
Could you say that the Treaty Principles Bill is just an extension of the Fast Track Bill?
Well, it's a little bit, they are different. They share, the elements that they share is they're trying to get rid of any kind of collective policy response in order to facilitate basically business activities. So the Treaty Principles Bill is trying to basically destroy the Treaty of Waitangi. That's its objective. And if it passes, that's what it would do. That's what they would try to do in effect. And the thing about the Treaty of Waitangi, Te Tiriti of Waitangi provides a collective way to try to come to terms with our colonial history. And that, of course, is why neoliberal right-wing parties object to it. In terms of the Fast Track Bill, it's specifically much more targeted at trying to remove all kinds of environmental protections so that projects which the government happens to favour and which are often from their political donors are given the green light, whereas otherwise, because of the environmental harm they do, that would be rejected.
What alternative policies would Greenpeace propose to balance economic growth with environmental sustainability?
Look, I mean, if you think about where the world's going, if just like energy, for instance. So New Zealand currently has to spend $8 billion plus every year on importing transport energy in the form of oil or in petrol and diesel. So if we were to, for instance, electrify our transport network, finish off the renewable generation of electricity in the process, then we would be in a much better position financially as a country if we didn't have to spend $8 billion a year importing transport energy, and our greenhouse gas emissions would be much lower. So there are win-win-win opportunities which are good for the economy, good for people and good for the environment in the energy sector straight up. Instead, the government has weakened fuel efficiency standards, it's reduced incentives to buy electric cars, it's not going to fund cycleways, it's reduced funding to public transport. So you can see that they're making us more dependent on imported fossil fuel energy rather than less dependent. So even in the energy and transport sector, you can see a much more sustainable and economically sensible pathway forward for New Zealand.
Is there some kind of lobbying group for mining and land exploitation?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lobby group called Stratera, which represents all the mining industry. So they're the ones that are lobbying for more coal mining, more oil and gas exploration and all the rest of it. So they obviously are close to the government. Lots of donors to the National Party support these mining projects and have been overt about that. And so you have this coalition, effectively, of National Party donors along with mining industry lobby groups, which have aligned with this far-right ideology of the current government, which is why they're heading down this environmentally destructive and basically climate-reckless pathway of drill, baby, drill, which will destroy the stable climate on which we all depend.
What message would Greenpeace like to send to those concerned with the government and want to make a difference?
Look, you know, it's essential that people stand up to protect the natural environment. It is what we all depend on for life on Earth. And this short-term economic thinking by the government, we've seen it before and it's come and gone. We had neoliberal economics in the 1980s and 90s. It was very destructive, but we saw it off. This is an attempt to resurrect this far-right ideology in Aotearoa, New Zealand. We're seeing it not only with the attack on the environment, but with the attempt to privatise assets. And so I just think we have to stand up and fight back to protect nature, because the government is engaged in a war on nature and people have to protect it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.